Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
I mentioned to you recently that before we take a closer look at Relevant Magazine, that I wanted to give you a brief overview of the New Apostolic Reformation movement. We had already looked at the Progressive Christian movement, since both of these movements are really promoted a lot in Relevant Magazine. A better name for Relevant Magazine might be Irrelevant in God's eyes. Because of its unbiblical content, you know, it is the combination of the worst elements of far-left heresies of progressives like Jim Wallis and the Emergents, mixed with the New Apostolic Reformation with its false apostles and prophets, as well as assorted word of faith, prosperity gospel, charismaniac type kooks, into a potent tool of Satan to lead into apostasy. The false social gospel is very appealing to professing young hipster Christians who find it much easier to promote this false gospel. And of course, the world will love you when you preach that type of gospel. I think of Bono, of U2, and how popular he is with his false form of Christianity. But, like I say, this is very appealing, this false social gospel. And they'll find it much easier to promote this false gospel than to preach the true biblical gospel of Jesus Christ that includes, you know, being reviled and possibly persecuted for the true faith. Now, of course, you know, chances are that many of these people, it's pretty likely that they've never been born again to become true Christians. And, of course, that's the problem. But I am... because of a couple of current events recently, I'm going to get around to the New Apostolic Reformation, but I want to say something once again about progressive Christianity. In life they say there are two things that you can always count on, death and taxes. But I think I would like to add a third, and that would be liberals' lies. The old saying, how do you know when a liberal is lying? You know, his lips are moving. And I think that liberals, as a result of suppressing the truth in unrighteousness, according to Romans chapter 1, they find it hard to deal with the truth. Remember that line from the movie, you know, you can't handle the truth. Well, they truly can't handle the truth. They suppress the truth. And the Bible speaks of course, not just liberals, but those who don't know Christ and fight against the gospel. He turns them over to reprobate minds. But, their God of all paths leading to God leaves them without a fear of the true God, who they must, of course, answer to someday. Now, as I say, a recent current event came to my mind. Barack Obama is back in the news. He's stumping for the Democratic midterm elections coming up. And lo and behold, something I did not know, Barack Obama is actually responsible for this incredible economy that we have under President Trump's administration, or at least according to Barack Obama. He's actually trying to take credit for it. And yet, you know, I remember personally watching, and you can go to the archives. You can go to footage of Barack Obama saying, you know, well, where's his jobs going to come back from? I mean, how's he going to bring them back? Has he got some kind of a magic wand? That's my impersonation, folks. I don't know. I need to work on it, I know. But apparently, Trump found some kind of magic wand or something, because Barack Obama was convinced that these jobs are not coming back. And yet, he has the audacity to take credit for this economy and all of these jobs that came back. So I'm just giving you a little example in the current events of a liberal, and the third thing in life I think that you can count on. And I bring this comes to mind also because in previous podcasts recently I've spoken about the progressive movement, and I used the Berean Research.com site for one of their articles, or actually a white paper. It was called on progressive Christianity, and they listed Barack Obama as a progressive leader, which makes sense to me. I know that, you know, I lived in Tulsa for several years, and I don't know if this event took place while I was there or not. I commented on it many, many podcasts ago, but I commented on it because I became aware of it. Whether or not it was going on when I was there or not, I don't know, and I wasn't able to attend it or check it out. But it was put on, this conference was put on by Carlton Pearson, who also has been active in mind science cult conferences as well. Now, this is the same Carlton Pearson who was formerly the Trinity Broadcast Network darling and a mega church pastor in Tulsa. He was located in Tulsa while I was there, but he was no longer the pastor of this mega church because he had gone the route of Rob Noel Bell and no longer believed that there was a hell, as Scripture clearly teaches. And he was the one that put on this progressive Christian-type conference, which included everything, you know, contemplatives, New Agers, mind science people, Barack Obama. You know, he was there as a senator. This is how far back it went. So this is, we're talking maybe 10 years or more ago, but it was while he was still a senator in Illinois. And he attended it. So anyway, he was listed as a progressive leader, which, as I say, I believe. And, you know, later I'm going to share another current event. But first, excuse me, I do want to, you know, I do want to share an overview, a brief overview of the New Apostolic Reformation movement. And even though I've touched on it in earlier programs over a period of time, I'm going to use a couple of trusted sources. Actually, I used both of these sources as well as others when I was describing progressive Christianity. And one is called, you know, Got Questions, their site, .org, gotquestions.org. And the other trusted site, of course, is BereanResearch.com or .org. I'm not sure. I said .com earlier, so, you know, you might want to check that out. But they have a lot of good information. And, you know, they did a white paper on the New Apostolic Reformation as well. But first of all, I'd like to, by the way, New Apostolic Reformation, which I will try to refer to as the NAR, to save myself a lot of extra verbiage, not the NRA, you know, don't think I'm coming down on the NRA or anything, two different groups. But anyway, the first document I want to look at, of course, is the gotquestions.org. And by the way, that's, yeah, BereanResearch.org. I've got it in front of me here. The gotquestions.org, what is the New Apostolic Reformation? They have a nice, succinct two-page article that I want to make some comments from before I move to the white paper by the Berean Research people. And I think this will help you as I comment on this group, which is one of the two movements, as I mentioned before, that big movements that are alluded to often and promoted often in Relevant Magazine, which is interesting. Well, I'll get to that later, but it's interesting because they both come really from pretty much different left and right wing political directions. So it's very strange, but the magazine, and as I say, they also include a lot of other charismaniac type kook teachings, heretical teachings as well. But let me just move on to that article. And, you know, I know it's going to take at least it'll probably take me two podcasts to lay this groundwork before I get into Relevant Magazine. I keep saying I'm going to get into Relevant Magazine. I don't know, the Lord might return before I actually start taking you to some of the articles, etc., as I've done in the past with Charisma Magazine and Sojourners Magazine. But anyway, I digress. GotQuestions.org, what is the New Apostolic Reformation? Answer, the New Apostolic Reformation, or NAR, is a loose collection of non-denominational and independent churches rallying around a particular set of biblical interpretations. The New Apostolic Reformation teaches that God's intended form of church governance is apostles and prophets holding leadership over evangelists, pastors, and teachers. However, this has not been the case for the vast majority of Christian history. So according to the New Apostolic Reformation, God began to restore prophets and apostles over the last 30 to 40 years. Only now, as the church is properly guided by the appropriate spiritual leaders, can it fulfill its commission. This commission is seen as more than spiritual, as it includes cultural and political control. In the New Apostolic Reformation, apostles are seen as the highest of all spiritual leaders, being specially empowered by God. True maturity and unity, per the New Apostolic Reformation, is only found in those who submit to the leadership of their apostles. According to this teaching, as the church unifies behind the apostles, these leaders will develop greater and greater supernatural powers. Eventually, this will include the ability to perform mass healings and suspend the laws of physics. Well, I always say aim high. These signs are meant to encourage a massive wave of converts to Christianity. These apostles are also destined to be recipients of a great wealth transfer in the end times. Ah, yes, a little prosperity here, which will enable the church to establish God's kingdom on earth. Now, prophets in the New Apostolic Reformation are almost as important as apostles. These people have been empowered to receive new revelations from God that will aid the church in establishing dominion. According to the New Apostolic Reformation, only prophets and occasionally apostles can obtain new revelations. Evangelists, pastors, and teachers cannot. The prophets' new revelations are crucial to overcoming the world, and the success of the church depends on the apostles following through on the information prophets provide. Most of their prophecies are extremely vague and easy to reinterpret, and the New Apostolic Reformation is willing to modify them since they set no standard of infallibility for themselves. And of course, I think of IHOP in Kansas City. Mike Bickle, formerly of the Kansas City False Prophets, I mean the Kansas City Prophets as they were called, started the IHOP, International House of Prayer. And, you know, people like Che An of Harvest Rock Church, Lou Engle of The Call, and of course I'll be listing some of the other leaders of the Apostolic Reformation group, but this comes to mind now as I think of this phenomena of these new revelations and things that, and prophecies also, I might add, that are false prophecies and yet are excused because, hey, we're all human, we're all fallible, and, you know, we all sin and we all fall short of the glory of God, and our prophets, you know, make false prophecies. Sure, that makes sense. I guess in a twisted, unbiblical kind of way, because God, if you're going to call yourself a prophet, you better be 100% accurate, according to Deuteronomy. And there's certainly warnings about false prophecies. Now, why would there be if it's okay to be one? But anyway, I digress. And of course, I always have to mention that Francis Chan, very popular church leader, has gotten on board with IHOP and has spoke at has been one of the key speakers at their last three conferences, the One Conference, I think it's called. But anyway, going on with the article, according to New Apostolic thinking, mankind lost its dominion over earth as part of the fall of Adam. So Jesus' sacrifice on the cross not only resolved our sin debt, but it empowered mankind, specifically Christians, to retake control of the earth. The New Apostolic Reformation sees seven areas in which believers are supposedly empowered and expected to dominate: government, arts, finances, education, religion, family, and media. Of these, the New Apostolic Reformation sees government as the most important because of its ability to influence all the other facets of life. As a result, the New Apostolic Reformation overtly encourages Christian control over politics, culture, and business. In some ways, this is nothing unusual, as people should be expected to vote and lobby according to their convictions. The New Apostolic Reformation, however, is often accused of pushing for outright theocracy, or God ruling, you know, a nation, like Israel, like he wanted to rule Israel, right? Now, the frustration of many candidates, many of our candidates these days, on the conservative side being infiltrated and infested, might be a better word, by these wolves in sheep's clothing that are part of this new apostolic reformation. You find this often, and I think it's probably because the people are not, these candidates are not doing their homework, and they're not being discerning, and who's affecting their spirituality or some of their decisions or whatever, but it's a little creepy. Anyway, spiritual warfare, according to the NAR, is meant to resolve worldly concerns. For example, economic troubles or health problems in a particular city are seen as a result of a demonic spirit's influence. Prayer, research into the specific name of that demon, and other spiritual disciplines are then applied in an effort to combat this presence. This is necessary not only for the health of the region, but also because the church cannot take dominion over that area until the demonic control has been lifted. That's according to them, of course. Biblically, there are major problems with the NAR. Claiming that Christians have access to certain spiritual gifts is one thing, but their distinctive approach to the role of apostles and prophets is a stretch from what is found in the Bible. More to the point, the office of apostle requires traits that are impossible today. For example, true apostles must be personal eyewitnesses of the risen Christ, specifically designated as apostles by Jesus, and already verified by miraculous signs. The idea of new revelations from God, especially those that come in the form of vague, easily reinterpreted mysteries, runs counter to the idea of a faith delivered once for all, as it says in Jude 1:3. The fact that new apostolic reformation prophecies frequently turn out to be false suggests a false spirit behind those predictions, Deuteronomy 18:22. The idea of this new revelations, I've heard so many times, if I had a nickel for every time, you know, I'd be rich. You hear the people, these people saying, well, you know, God's doing a new thing. You know, I got a new revelation and God's doing a new thing. No, he's not. God's not doing any new things, folks. Jesus said, it is finished. No new things here in terms of new revelations from God. The canon of Scripture is closed. Thank you. The same holds true for miracles. The ideological father of the movement, C. Peter Wagner, decreed the end of European mad cow disease in 2001, and the disease is still being diagnosed and treated over a decade later. The tendency of the New Apostolic Reformation to treat spiritual warfare as a type of Christianized voodoo is not only unbiblical, but dangerous. And by the way, C. Peter Wagner, of course, was a professor at where else? Fuller Seminary. Is the seminary who historically had such an issue with inerrancy, and once they turned away from the inerrancy of Scripture, went right down the slippery slope in the direction that they've gone, that's taken them into all types of problems, all types of spiritual false teachings, and, you know, the doubting the Scripture has brought them to these experiential type things. I actually ran into C. Peter Wagner at a Toyota dealership when I lived in South Pasadena, and I'm surprised he was driving. I figured he could probably just be just floating around, just translating himself from point A to point B. Now I'm not saying he ever said he could do that, but anyway. I wanted to throw that in. Likewise, the emphasis on an earthly kingdom contradicts Jesus' own declaration that the kingdom of God was spiritual, not political, John 18:36. It places an unhealthy emphasis on political and worldly approval rather than Christ-like influence. It's similar, really, to the social gospel's goal of establishing socialism for Jesus on earth. You know, they want to establish their kingdom for Jesus, just as the progressive Christians, so-called, want to establish socialism, let's do it for Jesus on the earth. Okay, though it uses the word new, the New Apostolic Reformation is actually a reworking of a very common, very old approach. Since the beginning of Christianity, various groups have claimed to have a new revelation from God to correct all the errors of the present world. These movements contend that real spirituality or maturity or truth is found only by those who listen to their leadership. Some of these sects, such as the Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormonism, endure and became and become religions in their own right, others fade away. Much of what the New Apostolic Reformation teaches has at least some basis in Scripture, albeit carried much further than the Bible intends. That, however, still makes those doctrines unbiblical, and Christians should flatly reject the New Apostolic Reformation's teachings and those who choose to be associated with it. Now, the next document I want to look at, we still have some time here. I don't know if I'll make it to my second current event or not. I hope I do. But the next, the white paper by the Berean Research.org, the intro here, let me get right into this right away. The NAR is a dominionist movement which asserts that God is restoring the lost offices of church governance, namely the offices of prophet and apostle. Leading figures in this seemingly loosely organized movement claim that these prophets and apostles alone have the power and authority to execute God's plans and purposes on earth. They believe they are laying the foundation for a global church governed by them, of course. They place a greater emphasis on dreams, visions, and extra-biblical revelation than they do on the Bible, claiming that their revealed teachings and reported experiences, for example, trips to heaven, face-to-face conversations with Jesus, visits by angels, cannot be proven by the old Scripture. Again, God is doing a new thing. Not, according to them, he is, but I would say no. Now, here's some fast facts about the NAR. Also known as Dominionism, Third Wave, Latter Rain, Kingdom Now, Joel's Army, Manifest Sons of God, Charismatic Renewal, and Charismania. Its founder was C. Peter Wagner, who claims that the church of the 21st century will be ruled by apostles and prophets. Wagner has anointed, or he did, he's dead now, of course, but he anointed himself NAR's presiding apostle, linked with the Kansas City prophets, who brought grandiose claims that a new breed of super prophets were beginning to arrive on planet Earth who would change the world forever. Likewise, Word Faith and Pentecostal movements. Not governed by an official denomination, it is led by alleged apostles and prophets. It teaches that the new apostles and prophets are to be the government for the emerging New Order church. Again, this is different from the emerging church, which is very liberal. But the comment here, for the emerging New Order church. But this article is using that term, emerging. Not the same as the emergent church. Claims there will be a reformation greater in scale than the Protestant Reformation. These are fast facts that I'm giving you real quick. Claim direct revelation from God, and many allege that Jesus and angels visit them in person. There we go. God told me. How many times have I heard that? Well, God told me. God told me to tell you. Okay, thank you. I'll just wait and read his word. Some of them declare that they have visited heaven many times and had conversations with Jesus as well as the prophets and apostles. The NAR's extensive mission outreach throughout the globe has caused the astonishing church growth that's happening in Africa, Asia, and Latin America. Denigration of the Bible and sola scriptura, experience-oriented theology, and based in emotionalism, and then, of course, steeped in mysticism. And I've seen that firsthand when I visited IHOP in Kansas City area, where Mike Bickle, where he began to promote the subjective, not only subjective false prophets, but also the subjective contemplative prayer or Catholic mysticism, combining both those areas, mysticism and subjectivism and emotionalism. Okay, now, common traits. Here are six traits, beliefs, and some of the common lingo used by adherents. We're in a second apostolic age. I don't think I'm going to get my second current event, so stick with us for next week, folks. We're in a second apostolic age. There are new apostles on the earth today, anointed by the laying on of hands to represent and speak for God here on earth. These super apostles are equal to the original apostles, the ones who witnessed Jesus' life, death, and resurrection and were appointed by Christ himself to the office. Since these new apostles are commissioned by God, their authority may not be questioned. Psalm 105:15, touch not mine anointed. You know, it's very cultic to twist that scripture, because that was talking, of course, about kings of Israel, not apostles and prophets. Don't touch mine anointed. David wasn't to mess himself with Saul, King Saul. You know, God was going to deal with him in his own time, and David would be the rightful king. But I digress. The second trait, the kingdom. Rather than preach the gospel of the cross, apostolic leaders are working to bring the gospel of the kingdom of heaven to earth. They do this by taking dominion of earthly kingdoms or mountains of government, media, entertainment, education, business, family, and religion. Leaders often talk of city building and organize prayer walks to pray against demonic strongholds. They often speak of being mission-focused rather than being Christ-centered. The next one, destiny, presence, and glory. This would be another, kind of the lingo, the traits. Number three, destiny, presence, glory. Though members are not always charismatic, they frequently emphasize a manifestation of glory and God's presence, and often have a special anointing to receive direct revelation from God, perform healings, and other signs and wonders. They teach that our purpose is to achieve our dream destiny so that we can change the world. And I, of course, thought of Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. And, of course, this is one you all should know very well. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then Jesus will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. So I think very appropriate scripture for what these people are saying is taking place with all these direct revelations from God. Revival. I'm just about out of time here. I'm going to hit the fourth one, the fourth trait of the NAR. Revival on a massive scale is key in this movement. There is strong emphasis on an end times harvest through a great awakening that we can usher in. Often these revivals are held in stadiums and reach millions around the world via live stream technology. They are marketed and produced like rock concerts. All scripture verses about end times, about an end time falling away or apostasy, are ignored and get replaced with hyped up claims about the next big thing that's always just around the corner. You know, God's doing a new thing. And this, of course, gives true biblical prophecy a bad name. When people want to teach true Bible prophecy, people look down on us often because of people like this. Now, I went to Nashville. Lou Engle had his group called The Call in a big stadium there, a football stadium. And so this is exactly the type of thing that's being spoken of here under this trait of the revival, like a rock concert, all the young people there. Well, I'm out of time. We will take up with the fifth common trait of the NAR, and look at that second current event in our next podcast. I hope you'll join us. God bless you all. Good night.